to More with Mo. My name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at Julieland.com. Today, as always, I'm joined by the man that can make a topic reappear, Mr. Richard Avery.
Abracadabra.
So, Dick, I did this opening because you're a huge fan of magic.
Well, let's just put it this way. I do have the magic touch with the ladies.
Oh, do you? Well, I also...
I can make a girl come, and I don't even have to touch her.
Really?
Yeah, I just say, and action.
Oh, I was going to say, and here's the check.
That's true.
So,
I wave a $100 bill in front of their face.
I'm also...
And they don't fall asleep, they orgasm.
Wow, you stretched that one out quite a bit there, didn't you? You're all giddy. Well, I'm also a big fan, and this is going to be the second part. This is going to be a second episode with my guest, Crow Garrett. Crow, welcome back.
Hey, buddy.
So
feels like just yesterday.
It feels like just yesterday. No, this is a two-parter because we had so much fun. We were going to talk about some other stuff, and we realized that we talked another 20 minutes about magic after we went off. So we figured, fuck it, why not? This is my show. I can go through and I can do whatever the hell I want.
Exactly.
And Richard Avery approved, and so it was okay. So Dick, you're like a little kid in a candy store.
I was just going to say, you mentioned you do wrestling, and I just wanted to see you choke Mo out. Throw him for a body slam. I want to see if that works.
Okay, he's a large man. Crow, you're what, like six?
Let me guess.
Oh, yeah. Six five. What do you weigh?
Ruined
a good 185?
A little more than that. Thank you, though.
Are you in the
Thank
230 you. Mark?
Yeah. Actually,
okay, good.
In the man, you're good.
I'm 3 inches shorter and 25 pounds heavier. I'm quite sure he's a big guy. He could pick me up and throw me, but we're not going to do that because get back up.
Okay. All right. I was hoping. I wanted to see a move.
Yeah. So before we go too far, you are going to be doing, and it's, or you want to do, you've gotten into doing some wrestling.
Yeah, it's basically just a hobby. So it gives me something to do. I'm training at a...
Where do you do that at?
There's a school out here in the Los Angeles area called Santino Brothers Wrestling Academy. Shout out to all my friends over there. Huge wrestling academy for the Los Angeles area. Every single independent wrestler who's getting any type of notoriety tends to come from that school. And I love it. I absolutely, no disrespect to any of the other academies out here. I think they're all fantastic. And if you can grab something from each and every one of them, you're going to get something great out of it.
Where are they located?
Bell Gardens.
Where's that?
You know, that's a made-up place.
I've never heard of it.
Where is Bell Gardens? A little bit south of Vernon, California.
And... Okay.
Yeah.
I know where that is.
How close is it to Disneyland?
About time of day.
Exactly. Okay, so you're having some fun with wrestling.
Yeah.
Your profession is magic.
Yeah.
You sit at home, watch Netflix. When are you going to get like a real life and a real job? When are you going to
go
out?
I do what I want.
When are you going to grow up?
Yeah, when are you going to grow up?
I do what I want.
We hate to tell you this, but today's episode is an intervention. We're here to straighten you out. Your parents called. They told us we'd like to hear it.
Okay.
We want you to grow up, son.
No. Do your parents, are they involved? Do they know what you do?
Do they approve?
My mom, a single parent, raised three children by herself, and absolutely my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, and if not for her, I would not be doing what I do today.
That's awesome.
So I love her absolutely for every single thing she's done for me.
Wow.
Wait, do your other siblings do something that's a little more useful to her?
Exactly.
Accounting, medical, mechanic.
One of them just got a job working at the University of Arizona in the upper management. I think she like works with the dean there at the University of Arizona. And then the other one is a bartender that married her husband, or married the owner of the bar. So she owns a bar.
Well, there you go. I'm just saying, most parents, you want to have yourself a lawyer, you want to have yourself an accountant, and you want to have yourself a doctor. So that no matter what, you're taken care of.
My parents had all losers.
Yeah.
Including me.
I want to point out my brother.
That's not true.
That's true.
My brother actually he's in the military, and he's in Kuwait right now. And so on Facebook, you picture military, Middle East. Oh, this is going to be bad. It's going to be bad. No, he just ran a fucking 10K in 125 degree heat. and he did pretty well from what I understand. First of all, I barely walk 3 blocks.
I was just going to say, right? And it's like, I'm waiting.
He's running a 10K. Not here in LA, not here also, in Kuwait.
Did you tell him you ran a 10S?
No.
Which I is didn't. 10 steps?
10 steps. No, I didn't even bring it up because then I just feel like it's like, hey, congratulations, man. Good job. I'll sit here and continue doing what I do for a living while you do something important. Hey, can I send you some more porn?
Yeah, but the fact is, you get to say to him, like, it's because he's running that 10K, he's protecting America so that you can do your job and be in a porn set.
No, if you don't mind me asking, do you get the opportunity to do that, to like send porn over to the troops?
There was one time where we did it, and it was many years ago. Yeah. It's not looked upon highly. We stacked it with a disc of DVDs, and there were other DVDs in there, and we sent some off. But I would be more than happy, and trust me, I could send pallets of DVDs to anywhere in the Middle East, to Iraq. I would have companies left and right that would be lining up to go, please get this off our shelves, first of all. And they can use it as currency over there as well.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Mr. Avery.
What's a DVD?
Well, over there, I don't know how the Wi-Fi is out in the middle of the desert.
Okay.
But you know, it's one of those things of, yeah, I would be more than happy. I go to Coffee Bean and they're offering where it's like, hey, would you like to send a bag of beans to the thing? I'm like, no, I'm good. Why don't you just send a pallet of beans instead of asking me to buy it at full price so that you can leave it on your counter for the next month to show all the people that bought it? So you're sending old coffee now? What are we doing here? I'm going to send porn.
My viewpoint on the porn industry and stuff, I would say that it's very appreciated by everybody overseas.
Oh, yeah.
It's just nobody wants to say it.
Exactly.
So thank you for what you're doing for the troops.
Dealing with a bunch of alpha males who are locked up in with another bunch of alpha males, they're going to see any naked girl of any kind on anything. They're going to love it.
You
could send them the worst porn in the world and they'd be like, wow, this is great.
Yeah. When we did send some stuff over, and it wasn't directly to him, but with the person we sent stuff over, we asked, you know, what kind of stuff should we send, and they gave off a list of different, you know, the obvious things it would be into, and then I mentioned should I send anything, you know, any sort of gay porn over there? No. Aww. But it was funny, right? And I threw it up there, and the guy said, he goes, honestly, I could actually make a lot of money with that, but no.
And the truth of the matter is,
it was like,
can I tell you the honest to God truth? The truth is, they shoot their own gay porn. They do. I know for a fact. They shoot their own gay porn.
You got to make money somehow.
I know. And they got a lot of free time when you're sitting there in a tent.
Back to magic.
That just got weird.
So if you want to talk about porn, like, let's ask him, do you have a favorite porn star?
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Man, no.
Mo, do you have a favorite porn star?
Yeah.
Not that you know her, just like a favorite porn star that you would like. Let's take ourselves out of the business for a second, because I'll tell you who my favorite porn star is.
Okay, you go first, Crow.
Oh, okay.
I'll go first.
I'm actually slightly nervous to say this because I know you both probably know her.
That's my sister!
Alex Chance.
Yes, love Alex Chance. Absolutely love her.
Who's your favorite?
Cleo Valentine, or Valentine.
I don't know her. Never pronounce her name. I don't know her, but good choice.
Yeah.
Mine is Audrey Patani, because if I don't say that, she'll kill me.
Before we go too far, as Mo is pulling up his phone right now, if you go to theaveragemo.com and the first picture of the girl in the Batman mask, that is Cleo Valentine, and I love her.
Oh.
Yes, no, she is quite lovely. I have to say that probably there's certain girls that do it for me that I'm like, woo. But Alexis Texas is the one girl that I'll always have and always will admit to being a fan of. Now, I haven't seen much of her lately, but I remember the very first time I was on set with her on a photo shoot before I got into porn. And when she came in, it was funny. There'd been some girls that had been on that I hadn't been really into. And the photographer goes, the girl that's showing up today, you're going to like. And I was like, oh, and she was new. And I was like, Alexis Texas, what the fucking name is that? Oh, I got an idea. Let's do a name in the state. I'm Joanna, California. I mean, like, what
I'm
the
Hannah
fuck?
Montana.
But she showed up and she has those kind of just like eyes and the curves. And I was just like, oh, my God, I love.
He likes girls curvy.
Uh-huh. I like my girls curvy.
He likes his girls stacked, and I like my girls skinny.
I love all women. No matter what color, shape, size, anything, I love absolutely all women. This is
where we differ, because I hate them all. I hate all of them. All shapes, all sizes. I hate them.
Now, you mentioned that you've been to theaveragemo.com. Mm-hmm. It's rare that I hear that, by the way, and so it's very nice. And it's rare that somebody actually points out a specific photo. So wait, you saw the Batman series?
Yeah.
Really?
Love it. That's one of the things that connected me to her.
I wish you were lying about that, because now it's like we're in trouble now.
No. I love.
Now he's gonna be like, the Batman series. People are looking at my pictures.
I can look at Google Analytics. I know all six people that go.
No, I
but he knew my picture of Lexi Bell.
He did.
Yeah,
he pointed out Lexi Bell.
The clown picture. You Google clown porn.
I am the king of clown porn.
Yeah, you Google clown porn. That is the epitome of what you get.
I think that's funny because it's like one fucking photo set. I have 50,000 photos on the site, and it's that one.
Yeah. So to clue everybody in, if you go to the Google and you Google clown porn, just clown porn, no quotes, no nothing. What pops up is like the second image is Lexi Bell, a Julie Land shoot done by Richard Avery. And then you scroll through and half of the images that you go through at clown porn is that same photo shoot. So
honestly, that is the coolest thing ever today.
All you clips for sale people out there, obviously there's not much clown porn out there. So you might want to jump on that bandwagon.
Exactly.
There is a really big market, I feel, for clown porn.
Oh, there is. I know there's sites that do it. Yeah. I just didn't think my pictures had anything to do with it.
Well, wrapping Cleo and clowns and such all together, watch this. Did you know that there's a new Batman versus Superman porn parody?
No. Is that finally coming out?
Yes, it's actually out, I believe, and she plays Harley Quinn in it.
Oh, wait. I know something vaguely familiar about this.
I saw her demo. Like she couldn't go in for a live casting.
Yeah.
And so her agent and her created a little video clip of them, you know, doing the lines, and they did it very dramatically. And at first I was kind of like, "Really, Cleo? I love her, but Harley, maybe, I don't know, okay." And then I saw that and I was like, holy shit, if they don't cast her, they're fucking nuts. I mean, I was like, because I went through and I was thinking Ash Hollywood. I was thinking some of the other girls that could play that role. Yeah. But after I saw that, I was like, if Axel Braun does not hire her, he's a fucking idiot. She got it. And I saw some of the pictures. And honestly, she looks better in the outfit setup that they have than whoever is playing it in Suicide Squad, the trailer. I mean, she looks better. I'm like,
I just posted something on Twitter. Who knows how long ago, thanking Paul Dini, the guy who created Harley Quinn, for the fact that Harley Quinn got me through my whole childhood, adolescence of puberty and everything.
I masturbated to Harley Quinn.
But Cleo doing Harley Quinn, I vaguely remember something very similar or something about hearing that in the past, for the fact that Paul Dini's wife is a magician. Mm-hmm. The one who created Harley Quinn, his wife actually is a magician here in the Los Angeles area. Her name's Misty Lee. Amazing, amazing, talented performer. I don't even know if there is.
Come on, really? There's no such thing as a good girl magician.
Oh no, you haven't seen Misty Lee. Misty Lee is absolutely. She uses her voice. She uses her presentation, and damn, she looks good on stage.
Doesn't work for me.
And she's married to the guy that created Harley Quinn and stuff. But she's fantastic. And so I remember hearing something about that and thinking, wow, wonder if Paul ever suspected that that was going to turn into porn.
Oh, wait. I think I have just done this weird turn. I can bring in magic and porn and cosplay all together with Alex Chance.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up some sort of like anal sex. Have you, you know? Have you seen anybody pull a rabbit out of a girl's ass before?
I have. I actually have. YouTube. Two really, really good friends of mine, Barry and Stuart, English magicians, actually from Scotland, but they most of their television stuff appears on English TV. They do a magic performance called Pulling a Rabbit from a Hat, and it takes the idea of pulling a rabbit from a hat, like the Virgin Mary, blah, 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 somehow becoming biblical in some form of sense. But the hat that they particularly use is a recreation of the storyline that they've discovered of the history of pulling a rabbit from a hat. So they bring a naked woman onto the stage and pull a rabbit from her. Oh, okay. And she becomes the hat. So, yes, I have seen a rabbit actually be pulled from.
All right.
And there we go. I was going to go with, and I can't recall the name of the thing, because the whole cosplay thing is very popular. And especially when you bring it together with the adult industry, it becomes suddenly every geek's like, oh, my God. You know, it takes the stuff at Comic-Con and just takes it to the next level. And so somebody suggested her being the magician chick. Something along those lines.
Zahendra.
And I looked up. I looked her up, and I was kind of like, okay, big tits, which every superhero seems to have. Mm-hmm. Every superhero chick. And I was like, okay, maybe the darker hair, maybe this could work. And so that was one of the ones, because we couldn't really find somebody that would fit her, and we thought that was maybe a possibility. So she may be hitting you up. A couple little tricks.
No.
Cosplay.
If you're going to go that route, I want to talk about... Can we talk about comic books?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, basically, I want to talk about TV show comic books. Like, have you seen... Like, because I know you watch The Flash, like I do, and you watch Green Arrow, like I do. Right?
Yeah, no.
Do you watch those shows?
Oh, yeah.
Do you watch Gotham?
Love them.
You know what's funny is this topic has come up a few times. We have multiple guests that we love talking about these type of things with.
Because I love the shows. What do you think about... Have you seen the trailer for Supergirl?
I haven't seen it yet, and honestly, I'm not a big Superman fan, so I'm not
going to be a... Are you a DC or a Marvel guy?
I'm more of a Marvel guy.
And we can go ahead and cut his mic.
But what DC has created for television,
make him disappear,
is amazing.
Well, really. First of all, I put it this way. I'm a Marvel person, always have been a Marvel person.
But oh, my God.
But I agree with you. DC rules TV.
Oh, yeah.
No, DC 100%. Rules overall. No. Seriously, what the hell does Marvel have? Oh, we got Spider-Man.
No, don't even...
Okay,
The X-Men, the... Fantastic Four.
Okay.
I think they're both great.
No, but
I
if you're going to go through... Fantastic. No, if you're going to go through and you say a superhero, if you're going to say the number one superhero, what are most people going to say?
Me?
Not X-Men, not the Avengers. They're going to say Superman or Batman or Wonder Woman.
No, they're
going to
say
Photo
Boy.
Wolverine.
Photo Boy.
Really? You think Wolverine's coming out there? You go through most people, when they have the idea of what a superhero
if you,
is.
Probably the most popular. If you're saying, like, who's the most popular? Definitely a superhero.
No, I would go
Superman is number one. I would say Batman is number
the word
two.
Superhero.
Right.
What,
no.
It is in the definition. Yeah.
There's Superman.
Real fast, Mo.
But that's like saying, hey, just because, you know, the Backstreet Boys sold more records than the Rolling Stones makes them better. Like, no.
I'm sorry. That was One Direction.
Okay.
Just so you know, that was the only other boy band I could come up on.
I was going to say.
We just went.
You just reminded me. Oh, I'm slightly upset with Alex. Right now.
Thanks for reminding me.
Very, very slightly upset with her at this moment.
Yes.
You said, like, she may be hitting me up to learn a couple magic tricks here and there so to do this cosplay thing.
Yeah.
I have actually taught her a magic trick, and I found out through a mutual friend of ours. I believe he was on the show. Todd Hunter.
Yes.
Todd Hunter, mutual friend. Love the dude. Absolutely one of the most smart, most intelligent guys I've ever met in my entire life.
He is actually a genius.
Yes, 100%.
I'm smarter.
Ooh, this would be fun. This would be a fun competition.
We could play Jeopardy and card sharks between the two of them.
Yeah, but Todd informed me that Alex was talking about a scene that she did for James Dean. And the fact that there was a conversation in the scene about she learned a magic trick. And I did teach her a magic trick. I know she showed you, she showed Todd, everybody within our mutual friendship has seen this. But the reason why I'm slightly upset is that in this conversation of the scene, she talks about learning the magic trick, but she didn't do the magic trick for the scene. Todd has said that she never got around to actually doing the trick.
Oh, no, but would that be okay?
For me, yes, it would be absolutely fantastic because then I could put it on my resume that I was a consultant for an industry thing. So, yes, I was about to go onto my LinkedIn page and start typing it in, consultant and everything.
Exactly. Okay, so how does that work? Is it okay to film people
what I do from
film doing magic tricks? So if I sat here
and you've seen her do the trick. It's a good trick. She does a good job with it. So I don't think it's
a good trick because Mo's still here.
Them jokes over there. Them jokes. You know, it's funny. It's you're a funny man.
Wasn't there a magician comic book? Mandrake?
Yeah. There was Mandrake. There's a recent one that came out probably 3 years ago, maybe, called Smoke and Mirrors, where when you're reading through the comic book, you're actually getting magic tricks that are happening in the pages. So you read along, and magic tricks will happen to you while you're reading.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Should I be cheesy and say Gambit?
No.
I should.
Well, I actually just rolled my eyes and did a slow look over and went, really?
No, come on.
Well, from my childhood, Gambit, because of the cards and everything. Right. But favorite superhero now? I probably got to say... Well, I just saw the Ant-Man movie, but...
What'd you think?
That was great.
I heard it was really good.
Yeah, it was a lot better than I expected it to be.
That's what I keep hearing, is it's good or it's great... It's a lot better than I expected it to be. So you know where the failing is? It's whoever the fuck did the publicity to go through and make it such low expectations to everybody go, I mean, it did
It's best thing to do, though.
I think it did the second lowest Marvel of recent, in the past 10, 12 years, of a second lowest Marvel opening. But I think it could have some longevity at the box office, and we'll find out when this episode comes out if I'm a complete idiot. But I mean, it did $48 million at the box office over the weekend, which is... Compared to Avengers, if Avengers did that, we would never see another Avengers movie.
Yeah.
But who knows? I don't know.
There's
if we're
just
gonna
so
see
many.
Well,
they're gonna keep this going with the Ant-Man and everything.
What I always think about, and this sounds really stupid, but I think about things like this. But I do. I always think like 50 years from now, when all these people that are making these movies are dead, and the next generation's working, and like 50 years from now, it's gonna get to a certain point where they're like, okay, let's remake the Avengers with this generation's actors, and like they. I mean, they have.
Well,
there's no end game
now.
To this. This is gonna go, but like you're just like at some point, it's just gonna get like ridiculous. Almost as bad as the comic books, where the comic books, different characters played ultimately play. Like, how many characters played Captain America? Like, three or four different people played. Ended up playing. They're gonna end up doing the same thing. So like ultimately, I can just sit there and see them in a conference room going,
"Oh no,
they have plans for the next 50 years."
It's happening now,
too. Yeah,
it's happening now, though. I mean, you have a. Fantastic Four movie coming out. That's a total reboot. They rebooted the Spider-Man.
But how many?
And they're going to
do
this again.
I know, and that's
the thing. Spider-Man's the worst because this whole keep rebooting this shit. Like, I think they got to get past that. Look, everybody knows the Spider-Man story. Just get a good stupid story with a good actor and quit rebooting the damn thing. Who cares?
Well, one.
It's like they keep trying the same. It's like no wonder they suck because we all know the story. We know how it's all going to end.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing. Like I hate about. The last couple of years, like when I saw the Man of Steel, it looked beautiful. I thought it was really good, but I thought like we know the story. Like, and I'm, maybe I'm old and I've seen the story, but I guess they assume that there's a bunch of 15-year-olds that don't know the story,
which is true.
But everybody does.
Tell me how many people under the age of 20 that could actually tell you who Christopher Reeve is.
Who?
Exactly. No, but you know what I mean. Go through and
was.
Okay, hold on. And too this soon. Is where too it marketed, soon. Not marketed to a certain generation, but there was a certain wink to a certain group of people of, I think you're, how old are you, 30?
30.
Okay, so you're maybe on the younger side of this, but when we see.
You just made me feel so good about my
life.
No,
but when we see the original Barry Allen in the new Flash TV show, I remember watching the guy who's playing his father be the Flash in what would have been 89, 90, 91, somewhere early on TV.
Yeah. I thought it was mid-80s.
And that's where DC dominates TV.
And you go through and you go, oh, shit, they just pulled that off.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, there's only a very small margin of people that actually get that are watching it. But they're also saying, hey, guys, we see you out there. We know that this isn't just a bunch of 16-year-old kids watching this on the CW.
Well, that's the thing, too. Is like, I think in this day and age... Like all these shows, whether it's DC or Marvel or anything, all these shows are so like thought out. Like no character, no actor is like hired or done without there's thought behind it. Like there's a reason for everything, and that reason might not show up right away. But like I can see that I wouldn't be surprised if someday if they did it. If I don't even know if he's still alive, but like I don't know why Gotham hasn't had a cameo of Adam West playing I don't know a politician or some like at some point.
Yeah, sure
like,
it will.
They should like it's like
oh they need to throw him a bone, and since like, they already have him in bed with the whole thing with Family Guy, he has no reason to not.
Right, but it's
it.
Like it's to me it's like all these. I think they probably in the last like 10 years, they figured it all. These companies figured it out like, you know, because they're making billions of dollars. Hey, we need to take this a little more serious and take the Comic-Con's been a part of that. Like all this has just exploded in the last like 20 years. Because when I was a kid, all we had was the comic books. Yeah. And then Batman, the TV show, when I was a kid was a big deal. Like we could not miss that show. And then what was even better is when the Green Hornet came along, we're like, oh my God, Kato. So,
well, something that hits very close to home, going back to this idea of like the reboots and everything, is the this long, many years of trying to reboot the Crow, the movie, right. The Crow. It hits me close to home, namesake of just my name alone and stuff. So I get people all the time who say, what do you feel about this reboot coming of The Crow? And my particular feeling on it is it doesn't diminish what Brandon Lee did. It doesn't diminish anything that happened. The movie still exists. We're still going to see it, whether or not you want to see the new one or not. If they finally do make it, which I know it's been a long, hard process to try to get it to come out, but if it finally does happen, I'll see it. But I still love what happened in the past, and I'm still going to hold on to that.
I, after all these years as a movie person, I get annoyed by people who analyze this stuff too much. Like, to me, mm-hmm. I just feel like, God, you're missing out. Like, it's like when you go to the movies and as a director, as a creator, as a photographer, I start analyzing, ooh, look at the lighting they did. Ooh, look at the, I got to the point where I was like, fuck all this shit. If I go to a movie or watch a movie and I'm just entertained for the 2 hours, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't take it all that serious anymore. And I can't. And I feel bad for the people who do, like, whether it's watching The Flash, which I really like this season of Flash. Loved it.
Yeah.
And I just like, everybody's like, oh, what about this? And what about, who cares? I watch it for an hour. I'm happy. It's funny. It's cute. It's
Get rid of.
I don't want to get serious about this shit. It's not, it's TV. It's not real. Yeah. That's why I always say to everybody, like, I want to do a TV show. And I know this is, I know you're going to respond to this, but I would do a TV show right now if I could do one with a character that every 6 or 7 episodes he gets killed. And you're like, okay, great. And then the next episode he's back and you're like, hey, wait a minute. He died last week. And you're like, dude, it's TV. It's make believe. We can do whatever we want here. And
called
soap opera.
Exactly. Sticking to the comic book thing, Johnny the Homicidal Maniac and stuff. There, it was a graphic novel, more directed towards the gothic teenagers of the early 90s or so.
Yeah.
But the idea was is that he couldn't be killed.
Mm.
He was just this crazy character that would go around and be a homicidal maniac, and then the police would show up, and nobody paid attention to him. Nobody really cared. He was just killing people on the streets, and it was a very funny, stupid, comical thing. I liked the comic book growing up, but or the graphic novel growing up, but how you feel about like watching TV and stuff like that and doing that? That's how I feel when I go see a magic show. I got to get rid of being a professional and just watch it. Just sit there and actually see a magic show and go, this guy's a good performer.
Yeah.
Or this guy's a shitty performer.
Exactly. I just don't like. I can't take anybody serious anymore. I'm always like, good. I had a good time. Whatever the movie was, that was good. If it was, or it was boring. Like honestly, the best thing I think in the last year, and I think you finished it or whatever, is like Daredevil was like genius.
Oh, I love Daredevil.
Daredevil was genius, and I'm just in there just going, I did not want to stop watching, and I had to make myself, okay, you're 6 episodes in, it's time to go to bed. I thought it was genius, and but I don't get all like analyzed. Oh, what's this character doing? Oh, and what universe is he part of? And like, really, people. It's TV. I mean,
there's certain
real.
People that are that into it. The one I got into that it was interesting was
in
the
costumes.
Was Constantine. Is I never read the whatever it was. I'm assuming it was a comic. It was a graphic novel. Whatever it was, when the movie or the Keanu Reeves movie came out, I was kind of like, I'd never heard of this character, and I ended up working on a photo shoot that was for the movie.
Oh.
And so we were shooting photos that were going to be in the intro credits of the movie. They went in a different direction. But so we were shooting all these photos of Keanu Reeves in these different areas. And it was like, okay, so we went to all these different sets and did the stuff. And sorry, Keanu Reeves, he was kind of a douchebag. And I love that when he was swinging, we had this big 2x4. He's supposed to be swinging at zombies. And we wanted to do this effect where basically the photographer was on the end of the 2x4, so it'd be cool and take these pictures as he's swinging it. And he explained that no, that's not how his character would do it. His character would not be looking towards the end of the 2x4, and he didn't want to do that shot like that. And I was like, that's somebody who's taking their job way too seriously. So when I went and saw the movie, first of all, those photos never appeared, and I was a little pissed. And then I watched the movie, going, well, Keanu Reeves is a douche. I really didn't like the movie, so I probably had some preconceived ideas of and going, what the fuck is this? The TV show came out, and I'm like, what the fuck are they doing here? This is going to be stupid. Then I loved it, and then I'm really into the show, and then they cancel it. And I'm like, Seriously? Yeah. I went through this whole evolution of Constantine, and I don't know what to do with myself now.
Fun fact about Constantine. Constantine was the first comic book series that the character actually aged throughout the whole series.
Really?
Yeah. Every other comic book series, like Captain America, stays within that same age, except for the expansion of like the 50s to modern day today. Yeah. Well, but he doesn't age. But Constantine, they particularly
Archie, Veronica,
him.
And Betty.
It's been consistent. Oh, yeah, well, true. Yeah, I mean, but...
No, I get it. Yeah. But I know what you're saying. And I think that's... I just think that, like, with all this stuff, it's just like I just wish people would just lighten up just a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. And if you're spending too much time with comic books and all that stuff, I just feel like, dude, get a job.
Well, you know, what's funny is you just reminded me with the whole Archie reference there, The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
I was watching last night a rerun, and I can watch the reruns of the show. It's a great show. It's easy to watch. And they were
fills the holes.
Exactly. It's like I can watch 6 episodes straight just as background stuff. I've seen them. I don't care how many times I've seen it. And so it was the episode where they play the Justice League.
Yeah.
And they brought up the whole Archie thing. Obviously, geek culture is the big thing. You have, you know, Big Bang Theory, which is the hottest show on television, all the way down to, you know, Kevin Smith's show on AMC, Comic Book Men. Mm-hmm. That show would not have made it anyplace else except for AMC, I swear. It's a good show. I watch it on the VOD stuff. But, I mean, we're seeing with Nerdist, Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, sorry, I was going to say Hansen.
Him doing the, you know, The Walking Dead and doing all these things and him being this king of the nerds as well. I mean, this is currently the big thing out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is geek culture thing. Is, yeah. I mean, look at Comic-Con and the stuff that they release there and they talk about,
you said,
just huge.
But like I said, if you go back, say, let's go back 25 years and you mm-hmm. and if you went to Michael Douglas, Glenn Close, whatever, millions of actors out there and said, hey, I want you to be in a comic book movie, they all would have said no.
I'm sorry, I believe, was it Glenn Close that was in 101 Dalmatians?
But to have her in Guardians of the Galaxy, like, really?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's like, just like how all these, like, that's the big movies. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, there's, nobody's making The Godfather, so they're all making Guardians of the Galaxy. So if you're an actor, you're like, okay, can't beat them, join them, and the money's there, so... Those but are the movies you, that's where the money's at.
You would also see the same thing, though, is those same actors to tell them that you're going to be on a TV show.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I will never do television.
Oh, I know.
Oh, hello, Kevin Spacey. Welcome to the world of Netflix.
I know. Well, that's true, too. And I think they're saying that a lot nowadays, too, that, like, I mean, there's more TV than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
yeah.
more TV than movies. I mean, they can only release, in a sense, you know, I'm just saying here, but they can only release... say 5 movies every weekend, that, you know, a real release of a real movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe 5 movies every weekend. And, you know, one's going to go boom. The rest are going to get, and, you know, whatever. But on TV, how many, you know, there's 1,000 channels. Now there's Hulu and Netflix and everything else. So like, it's just like, I say it all the time. There's a more production being done now than ever, mm-hmm. than ever. And then YouTube, you know, everybody's making their own shows.
Well, I mean, and
you
all
should
those...
have your own show.
All those things, you know, is when it comes Hopefully down to it, day. All of those shows I can watch or with the, yeah. with my iPhone. I can go through and I can watch all the movies. Yeah. I can watch all the everything that we have talked about here today, from comic books to magic to anything. I can actually go read that comic book.
Yeah.
I can look at every single thing you've referenced on YouTube. I can mm-hmm. watch House of Cards. I can watch all the movies. I can see an interview with Michael Douglas talking about what it's like to be on. That's why we see so many crossovers of you can take a celebrity who becomes a YouTube star at the same time. And some of those celebrities want to become a YouTube star because they know that that's going
to
help them
out. I think it's easier to go from the top, like go from movies to YouTube than it is from YouTube to movies. I don't think where's that one person that started out on YouTube and that has gone into other areas?
Justin Bieber.
He didn't really start on YouTube, though.
He was discovered on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was discovered on YouTube. Well, I think the last time I was here on this show, you asked the question, Mo, of what's my goal? Like, where do I want to go next and stuff? My particular goal in life is just have fun. Like, mm-hmm. don't do anything I don't want to do and just keep having fun. Just keep enjoying what I do for just living and stuff. But I mentioned the idea of, like, trying to do a show on like Netflix or something like that and keep something like that going, because that's where I feel it is going. I feel like cable TV is kind of dissipating
And I tell everybody that does that, because I've been in this town forever, that is, you have nowadays, don't wait for somebody to give you that show. Create that show yourself.
Well, wait.
Sit down and come up with a concept, and you write it, you refine it.
Jeff Dunham. Then,
you know, you just create your show. It's because it's easier now to do than ever before. And it's hard, and you need money and all that other stuff that comes with it. But it's important that, I would say, if you're going to wait for somebody to come to you and say, here's this show idea.
Well, the ventriloquist Jeff Dunham, the comedian guy, absolutely funny. Love the guy. I've seen him live who knows how many times. And I'll go see somebody once and then, but no, I'll see him every single time I can.
He's genius.
But how he got his big break, like, the guy's a legend. He's been around for many, many years. But he took his own personal money, had a theater, had the video equipment and everything. He took his money and created a special. Mm-hmm. And then he went to Comedy Central and said, I'm not going to pitch this. It's already made. Here's this. Right. If you want it, go ahead. And Comedy Central put it on at like 12 o'clock at night, and it blew up. And because he took the initiative to say, I'm not the only person who's going to help me is me.
Exactly. That's how it works.
Well, I mean, you were saying about cable being, you know, the cable shows. Oh, mm-hmm. No, Mr. Avery, I'm going with it.
Go.
Alex just, she just watched The Sopranos.
Yeah.
For the very first episode of The Sopranos. She'd never seen it before.
Good for her.
So, what show is that? Who's on that?
Yeah, it's an old show. Okay. Dude's dead. Sorry, it's very sad. I apologize. But no, and so she went through and you take... It used to be all drama was on network.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, you had the HBO shows and everybody went to HBO, and then you had Showtime, and suddenly you have all these amazing shows that are made for grownups on cable.
Yeah.
You didn't see The Sopranos on NBC. So you go through, now we're at the point now where AMC, which was American Movie Classics, a channel that you couldn't fucking find on the lineup going, what's this old black and white movie? What is this? Nobody gave a fuck. They now have the hottest shows on television. They took and made us interested in seeing people from the 50s that are alcoholics and smokers that work in advertising and made it an epic show.
Yeah.
Zombies. Hey, I got an idea. Let's do a show about zombies. And it's amazing. And so all these networks now, you know, FX, a lot of these networks have come out and done very good since The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
And so now we have all these shows that are made for grownups that now you see the networks are sitting there going, well, we still got CSI and Law and Order, and we got 50 incarnations of it. And, you know, and so I think cable is still that area where they're allowing that. You can have that creative and great shows, you know. Breaking Bad, you would never have seen anywhere else except for on cable. You know, Walking Dead, you never see those. Now we're just now seeing that opening in Netflix with, say, House of Cards.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who would have thought, what was it, 5 years ago when Netflix said, oh, we're going to separate our streaming from our DVD, and everybody was like, well, that's the end of Netflix. Nobody, they'll be done in a year. Nobody cares about Netflix. Nobody cares about DVD. Well, here we are.
They're dominating. Look
at us now. Because right now at home, I have a DVD, I'm sorry, I have a Blu-ray of Game of Thrones in my mailbox because I can't watch it on HBO, and it's season 3, and it's, I think it's this combo, again, of everything being brought back together. It may not be where it originates, it's, you know, but it has to originate somewhere.
It's the evolution. I mean, taking what I do for a living, just the magic alone, it amazes me that in the magic world, we kind of put ourselves in that ancient era of like David Copperfield. I'm sorry, I should not say ancient and David Copperfield because I love the guy. I think he's absolutely fantastic. But the evolution process is just barely starting to happen with magic, where we're starting to incorporate iPads. We're starting to incorporate cell phones. I'm just now working on a new magic effect that I'm trying to do on a semi-regular basis now, that just uses just my cell phone, and that's it. My cell phone, nothing else.
You know what I did? I did a magic trick too.
Mm-hmm.
I magically typed into my cell phone, and I let this person know, said, hey, I have a guest on my show right now that's a big fan of yours. And she responded.
Oh, what'd she say?
She said, a magician likes me. Isn't one of his magic tricks?
I'm so blushing. Wait, what does that mean?
I have no idea. But she responded.
What does that mean?
So my magic trick was I made your favorite porn star at least
I
respond.
Oh, I love her.
Wow.
I love her.
I was going to say send me a picture of your tits, but I didn't think that would go over well. So, Crow, I appreciate you coming out, sticking around, doing another episode. It's been a blast. I know. Pleasure. I think Richard Avery is your new biggest fan.
Hey, I'm his biggest fan. So.
You guys are having a little bromance here.
We're gonna have a magic jam.
Yeah, exactly. This, so. I'm gonna make my car disappear. I'm gonna do the John Cena thing.
So for everybody out there, where can they find you out on the interwebs?
You can find me all over the interwebs. Just type in Crow Garrett, CrowGarrett, and you'll find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it.
LinkedIn, and classmates.com.
Yes. Tinder.
Plenty of fish.
Tinder. No. J-Date. Plenty of fish.
J-Date.
No. I would. Maybe.
Do we throw in LinkedIn? Yeah. Well, Crow, thanks again for coming out.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Avery, do you have anything to plug?
No, I don't. But Mo, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mo Triple X, or Mox, as some people like to call me. You can also hear The Average Mo on SoundCloud and iTunes with More with Mo. And you can check out my blog, theaveragemo.com, where you can see all sorts of photos, videos, and you can listen to this show. Thanks for listening.